Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
To Not Another Mummy podcast with me, Alison Perry. I'm joined today by, no word of a lie, a sporting legend, a lioness who was the top goal scorer in the UEFA Euros 2022, which saw England crowned champions. She's also the winner of Sports Personality of the Year 2022. It is, of course, Beth Mead. Beth has just published her first children's book, Roar, which is an inspirational handbook for readers age 7+ who want to find and play the sport they love and achieve their dreams. Welcome to the podcast, Beth.
Thank you for having me and a great introduction.
How are you doing today?
It's still surreal when people say some of them awards that I've won. It still doesn't, seems like I'm in a little bit of a dream world, so it's still sometimes nice to hear.
Yeah, it must be nice. It must be like a little reminder, like, oh, that's me. That's me that they're talking about.
Literally, it's like, yeah, I like Sport Personality of the Year and stuff. Like, it just baffles me. Like, even having the trophy in the house and stuff. Like, I'm just like, I've watched that show for so many years. Never, ever did I think my name would be on that trophy. So, yeah.
Yeah, just incredible, incredible. Yeah. So let's talk about your book, first of all, Roar. It's all about getting kids to find their sporting passion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is that so important to you to inspire that?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it's a guide for like dreaming big and finding the sport you love. And I think, why not dream big? You know, there's a possibility of doing a lot of different sports professionally now. Obviously mine being football, but I think the importance of the book was to, you know, share that all sports are okay. Sport is for everybody. I obviously played a lot of sports growing up. I was quite gifted at sport, which obviously is my favourite lesson at school, so I couldn't wait for that one every week. But, you know, I did hockey, cricket, netball, athletics. I tried them all, and my true love was football, the one that resonated with me most. You know, I went on the pitch and everything else in the world didn't matter. So I knew that was the one for me. It was a close call between that and hockey. I was pretty good at that, but just what fit me best was football. So I think I wanted to write a book knowing that growing up, if I had something like this to read, it would be I would have been so, you know, inspired and in awe of being able to do and think about doing that. And I think it was a super important to give something back to the next generation and try and help them with little tips and tricks and things within life. And obviously the book hopefully can do that, you know, ask some questions, it makes about them think about things that they might not have even thought about yet. So far it's had some good feedback, so fingers crossed that it keeps getting a little bit more.
It's amazing because, you know, it's about sport, but it's not about sport, you know. Yeah. Actually, anyone who's listening whose kids aren't particularly sporty, you should definitely buy them this book, because actually there's so much in it that is kind of like general motivational stuff about stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, not being scared of things. It just feels like you've written a self-help book for kids.
Yeah, I mean, life isn't easy. It throws a lot of things at us, and not that you want to scare kids to think about that, but I think it's the real reality of life isn't going to throw you, you know, rainbows and butterflies and it's okay for feeling in certain ways. So, I mean, people see me as a bubbly, fun character, but when I was younger, I struggled, like you said, coming out my comfort zone, testing myself on a different level. I was 12 when I first went away with England. I loved my little cushy life in my little village back home in North Yorkshire, but the next thing I know, I'm 12 and I'm sat in a car with a complete stranger taking me to an England camp, which is 6 hours away from where I live. And I got myself so worked up and so upset that I could have easily walked away and not done football because it was too much for me. But I think if a young boy or girl has a saying, whether it's in football or, I don't know, going to school on a morning or whatever it may be, like, I've obviously put in there, like, my mum always told me, like, one step at a time. And I think, as simple as it sounds, like, it helped me so much, through life. Like, sport is, it teaches you a lot of life lessons, and I think that's, like you said, it's a help book for kids, It doesn't have to be a sport that you have to be nervous about. You could be nervous about your exam or, I don't know, walking down the street and being scared or going to the cinema with your friends for the first time or something. Like I just think, yeah, it was important to kind of share that they're not alone and these feelings are okay, but how can you learn and how can you mature as a person from that? So fingers crossed that it helps in any kind of way for any kid or adult.
Or adult. I mean, I'm
Or
not being
adult.
funny, but I was reading it and I was like, oh yeah, I should remember that. That's a really good point. There was a bit, there was a whole bit about learning from the tough times, and I was like, yes, I need to remember that. That's really good advice. So thank you, Beth.
It's not, it's okay. Simple is better sometimes, we overcomplicate life, so simple sometimes can help.
It's so true. It's so true. So thinking back then to your own childhood, who inspired you to play sport? You say in the book that you had loads of energy and that your parents needed to tire you out. And I think a lot of parents will be able to relate to that. I know I've got 4-year-old twins and I am constantly like, what can I do to just run them tired so that they go to bed tonight? Was that the kind of driving force you think originally for your parents?
Yes. I was a handful. I had so much energy to give. I still do, to be fair. People are like, where'd you get that energy from? I'm like, I don't know. I had that since a kid, but my mum tried a few things, obviously I speak about in the book. She tried ballet. I didn't run up, there wasn't enough going on in ballet for me. She obviously bribed me for my first ever puppy to try and get to me to my first ballet exam, which I did. That was my motivation again, and then I gave up ballet not long after that. But
That's amazing though. Like when I read that in the book, I was like, that's impressive. You must have been, what, about 6 or 7 at the time? No, you're a bit younger.
just younger, yeah, maybe 4 or 5.
Younger.
But my mum, I
But
had a
to even do that, to kind of, persevere at something that you weren't loving and sitting the exam, doing the exam because you wanted that puppy, that's impressive.
I mean, my mum knew me well, too well, maybe, but yeah. I got my puppy. I did my ballet exam and I got home that day and my puppy was waiting. So they was a good bribe. I'll take them type of bribes any day. But yeah, again, I had so much energy to burn and my mum took me to we were lucky, our local village put on a Saturday morning volunteered football session, 6-year-old at that point, and she took me down, obviously at the time only boys session, so I was a little bit like, oh well, like as a kid I didn't overthink anything, so I was like, oh it's fine. Mum, he said they're a little bit rough, will she be okay? Mum was like, it's fine, I'll come get her in an hour, see how we get on. Obviously returned in an hour and the guy was like, yep, she's a bit rougher than most of the boys. So yeah. So the rest is history from there, obviously. But yeah, I used to use my younger brother. He was 3 years younger. I used to boot a ball at him normally down the hallway. But I think there was a few too many incidents in the house that my mum got fed up with that. So she took me outside to play football at that point.
And what were the things that your mum and dad did for you that you now looking back can see, apart from obviously your mum taking you along to that first session, what are the things that they did for you that helped lead you to your success?
There's a lot of things I think now I'm older that I appreciate so much more than obviously I realized when I was younger. Because I was pretty good at football, I had to travel maybe 45 minutes an hour to the local session to playing a girls' team and develop a little bit more. So, you know, my dad drove us around. My mum worked two jobs just to, you know, pay petrol to put in the car. And even when I said earlier, like, being out of my comfort zone, I'd sit at the end of the bed the night before going to England camp and panic and make myself, you know, ill and anxious about things. And my mum on a morning would get me up, make sure I ate, and then say to the driver, she'll get upset, but put her in the car and just take her on away. And my mum had to obviously just like wave me off. And for me, I was like, well, why is she not upset? Like, I'm so upset and this. But I know how hard now looking at it, how upset she was, but how much she had to hold it in to help me. And yeah, I think now I'm older, I really have had to appreciate that a lot more and realize how much that, you know, I kind of put them through in that instance and how much commitment and time they had to put into me to take me to my football. You know, we did football sessions on a weekend, tournaments on a weekend, so it took up the full weekend. You play a few games Saturday, a few games Sunday, and the team I was in was pretty good, so we generally always got to a semi or a final. And again, memories of picnics, my grandma, my granddad and my mum and stuff, and I'd eat a ham sandwich and some crackers and cheese and then run around on a pitch for a 7v7. And then, but just little things that really at the time, you just, I guess as a kid, sometimes you just expect and you shouldn't. And now looking back, thinking, do you know what? They put so much time and effort and give up a lot. When I talk about how much I've given up to be where I am, my parents would give up 10 times more than probably what I did. So it's a newfound appreciation. And obviously now that my mum's obviously not with us, like, it's 10 times more again, you know, because again, I don't get them that time to appreciate it with my mum anymore. So them memories and stuff, yeah, you feel a lot more.
Yeah, I'll bet. And what was the point that you and your parents realised that you might have a special talent at football? I mean, obviously on that first day, you know, you were told, your parents were told, oh, she's quite good, actually. But what was the point where you were like, actually, this could be your job, your career?
Yeah, I don't know if I knew or my parents knew before me. I actually didn't turn professional till I was 19 at Sunderland. So obviously, I mean, I'm saying it wasn't that long ago. I'm now 28, so it's a little bit ago. But I think when it became a reality, I obviously joined a senior women's team when I was 16, which is quite young when you look at that now. So a 16-year-old playing in a senior team, you don't often see that anymore. Obviously, you've got young academy players, but I think it's 18 before you can sign a pro contract now. And I loved it, but if I think now a 16-year-old getting thrown in at deep end playing in the top league in England and running around with these grown women, obviously I didn't think that at the time, but I did pretty well for Sunderland. I started pretty much every game at 16 and was a regular player in that, you know, the senior squad. So I think my first few years at Sunderland, I was like, okay, I'm actually pretty good at this. Scored a lot of goals, which is always nice. And then I got offered my first contract when, I think it was 2016, I got offered my first contract. So I was, my mum was actually my agent at that point. So we went into actually barter with Sunderland to say, oh, let's see how much you think we should ask for. Not having a clue.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, and my, they turned around and said a lot more than we thought they would say. So we were trying to not act surprised, me and my mum. And then my mum went, well... so it was just literally like, when you think about it, how far the game's come in such a short period of time, it's crazy. But then my mum would be like, well, maybe what about housing and car allowance or something? Like, she's able to drive now, stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, no problem. And we were like, oh, well, what do we ask now? Like, it was like, we're very much like, we didn't, out of our comfort zone. And obviously after that, a year later, I moved to Arsenal and I had an actual agent at this point. My mum still came with me, but I had an agent, and obviously they did all the talking and bartering and probably did a better job than me and my mum. But
weren't you offered your dream, like being signed by Arsenal a bit earlier than that, but you actually turned them down?
Yeah, so at the time Sunderland were in Women's Super League 2. So we got promoted with Sunderland to this WSL 1, which was the top league. And Arsenal came in for me and said, we'd really like to sign you. Yeah, basically left it at that. And I was like, oh, like, this is again me. I was like, oh, is it me being not in my comfort zone? But my mum and dad at this point agreed with me for once. I was like, I think I need a little bit of experience in the league to play regularly, understand it a bit more. Whereas if I think I'd have gone to Arsenal that season, would I have played regularly? Would I have sat on the bench? Would I have developed as much and got the experience that I needed? Obviously, it was a little bit of a gamble, because if I'd have not played well that season, maybe Arsenal wouldn't have wanted me anymore. So there were, obviously, it was like, it could have gone either way. But yeah, I chose to stay at Arsenal and ended up at Sunderland, and ended up being the top scorer in the league that season, playing for Sunderland, and we finished fourth. And again, my phone obviously rang again at the end of that season, asking like, you need to come to us, like. And I was like, yeah, I think it's a good time for me to go now. And yeah, I went to Arsenal and, you know, started as a number nine for a little bit for them. And then obviously we went and signed Viviana Miedema, and I thought, oh great, I'll have to play on the wing now. So then I changed position. So yeah, very good timing, because if I'd I guess the gamble paid off on this one, but that's not always the case.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, you've mentioned already the importance of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. You know, and it's something that a lot of adults do struggle with. Like my 12-year-old, she's a dancer, so she does sort of competitive dancing.
Nice.
And recently she entered a singing competition. When I asked her why, she said that she wanted to push herself out of her comfort zone. And I was like, whoa, when I was 12, I didn't even think that was a thing. Like, no. I was so impressed. So why do you think it's an important thing for kids to be able to do?
I mean, pretty impressive for a 12-year-old, by the way. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have been doing that. I don't even think I'd be doing that now, to be fair. I can't sing, though, so that's maybe why.
Celebrity X Factor, come on, it's calling you, Beth. It's calling you.
I wouldn't last long. But I mean, I guess more kids could be like your daughter, but that'd be incredible. It's not an easy thing to do, get out of your comfort zone. I think we all say that, get out of your comfort zone, don't stay in the place where you feel like you feel good. You, as humans, we can always, you know, develop and learn. And again, I hope the book kind of helps in the sense of, I got pushed out of my comfort zone. Luckily, I had the support of friends and family to help me do that. Not everybody has that, so I always try and say, if you get a good support system around you as best as you can, that really helps with, you know, moments when you want to push yourself and go out of comfort zone, that you have them people to know, like, you know, they're the comfort zone, they can look after you to then push you even further. And I mean, your daughter must have a pretty good support system to be able to, you know, push yourself out of that comfort zone. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed by that, but I hope more kids can, you know, can do that. Because what I always think now, what is the worst that can happen? You fail, you go again. And we've all had that. We've all had barriers, we've all had failures, but I always say it's the way you bounce back and you come back from that failure. And you sometimes learn a lot more from failure than doing and succeeding. So yeah, I think that's important for, you know, the next generation to, you know, understand and learn as well.
Now, obviously, you've had quite a bit of sort of defeats and disappointments over the years, and you were injured in November. And am I right in thinking that you're not competing in the World Cup, which is coming up very soon? So what's it like to be missing out on something so big, and how are you using that disappointment to bounce back from and come back bigger and better?
I took a nasty injury in November, one that generally would keep you out 9 months if things go well. I used this injury as my motivation to try and get as close to this World Cup as possible. My coach knew that, obviously, both at Arsenal and at England. And I knew there was a possibility that I would be pretty tight to try and make it. But it was important for me, mindset-wise, that I was willing and could look myself in the mirror and say, you know what, I've done everything I can to get as close to that as I could. And again, things and negativities that happen, you can use them and use them as motivation. And yeah, it was hard. I had to bite the bullet, obviously, when I knew I wasn't quite ready to be able to go. And at the same time, it's like, I would love to be there with the girls and represent my country in a World Cup, but would I be playing my best football? Could I do the best for my team at that point? Possibly not, no. So it was a tough decision, but I think it's one that's obviously quite sensible. I'd like to play football for quite a bit longer, so I now have the opportunity, to get myself into a good and positive place, give myself a little bit more time, and I'll get a proper pre-season before the season starts. So hopefully I'll be ready and raring to go for a new season. But yeah, these things unfortunately happen within sport, and they happen within life as well. I don't wish it on anyone, but you deal with what's in front of you sometimes, and this was something that I had to deal with. I keep joking, really. I'm like, I'm out for 9 months. I might as well have had a baby in that time, because it's the same amount. So could have multitasked, really. But
you could have multitasked, Beth. Never mind.
Maybe next time.
So, sure. Okay, let's go back a year, the Euros. I've got to ask you about it. Are you still on a high from just the incredible win and the performance that you put in?
I think that'll be a free high for life. Never ever in my wildest dreams did I, probably growing up, think I'd play for my country. Never mind being able to do it in my home country. A Euros in England, a final against Germany, which you couldn't write, really. It's quite historic at Wembley, home of England, in front of, 80,000-90,000 people. And you go and win it. Like, it's what dreams are made of. And honestly, the feeling of doing that was honestly the most incredible thing I've ever done. And I mean, it's what we are all, striving to do, but not everyone's lucky enough to do that. So to say, I'm a European champion, I've got a gold medal around my neck, and obviously the plus of winning player of the tournament and top scorer was very nice icing on the cake. So it'll be one that will give me a free high for life, that one.
That's so good. From my point of view, as a mum of three girls, it felt like such a huge emotional feminist moment. Like, we watched it at home. My eldest was 11 at the time, and she'd played on the girls' school football team, and it was just such a moment. Have you heard similar stories from other mums, not just of girls, but just of kids who were just so caught up in the moment?
Yeah, I did actually a book signing yesterday, and I met a lot of young girls and aspiring lionesses and Arsenal players, a lot with tops and their shirts on, and it's just so refreshing. We were caught up in such a bubble of what we were doing in the Euros, and it was great for us at the time because we kept on, what we were doing, we were motivated, but we sometimes don't get to feel or see the outside world. And to hear stories and see videos of people in the front room dancing and crying when we won, and these young girls coming and being like, we were at the game, and I was so happy, and I want to be like you when I grow up, and I'm trying to be a right winger or whatever it may be. Like, it gives you goosebumps. Like, it's honestly incredible, and I'm lucky enough that obviously I was able to do that. I now get to share my story through a book and help them girls try to get as close to that as they possibly can. But yeah, it's a feeling that I'll never ever get old. Young girls coming in with your name on their shirt and your number on their shirt, and I'm thinking, I'm just Beth Mead. Like, I'm a girl from, North Yorkshire, honestly. And these girls, like, some girls were getting crying and getting upset. I'm like, why? Like, I'm not going to bite you. Like, but It's just a surreal feeling. It's honestly, it's one of the most incredible feelings, knowing how much of an effect you can have on someone. Because in my, obviously in the book, like my, I have hero chapters, and I got chance obviously to be a friend. My hero is now one, you know, a friend of mine, Kelly Smith, who's obviously at Arsenal. And now she, I think she's going to join our coaching staff a little bit more next season for, and she's, I've just talked to her day in, day out, but that was one of my heroes growing up. And I remember going to see her play one day and meeting her, and I was just a mute. And a couple of the girls yesterday that I met were quite quiet, couldn't spit words out, or they were really upset. And never, ever was that young girl meeting Kelly Smith think I'd be doing that to, you know, the next generation of girls either.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And there has been a huge increase in interest in women's football, hasn't there, since you guys won the Euros. And you're playing in front of much larger crowds, aren't you, with Arsenal?
Oh, it has blown up. Like, I think it's one of them, you know, the legacy we wanted to create, we wanted to create it for the next generation and keep it going, not just for it to buzz for a couple of months. Or, and, you know, people are being so invested. You know, I think something this season, which was a record, I think as an Arsenal team, we have the highest attendance record in the league. 250,000 people came to watch us last season play.
Wow.
And Arsenal, obviously, in that sense, have been incredible. They have, you know, hosted us at the men's stadium. We actually sold out the Emirates, 60,000 people. And it wasn't just because people were there and just jumping on the bandwagon. Like, you could feel the stadium. Then people wanted us to win. They were so invested in us as a team and as players that, yeah, it's just been honestly incredible for the whole league. But obviously we've seen it from a perspective of playing for Arsenal a lot, and England, we've sold out every game since obviously at Euros. So it's, yeah, very much exciting times for, you know, women's football and women's sport in general.
What do you think's next? Like, where do you think it will go from here?
I mean, we're lucky enough, like I said, at Arsenal, we're playing in the men's stadium a little bit more regularly, but sometimes we play at a stadium, which is lovely, but it holds 3,000 people. So I think the next step, you know, for the game in general, for every team within the league, be able to play in, you know, much bigger stadiums, get the crowds get there, get people there, give people the opportunity, you know, to come and see us. Because, you know, our cut-off's 3,000-4,000 at this stadium. If more people come, then they can't come to watch that day. So I think the next step is to, you know, give us the stadiums to get the people there and, you know, get the bums on seats.
Yeah, I mean, we've come a long way, haven't we, since, was it 1972 when women weren't allowed to play professional football? I mean, we've come a long way.
Oh, I mean, you still don't believe it when you turn around and say they banned women from football for 50 years. It's just ridiculous. Because women's football, obviously, back then got more attention than men's football, and shock, the men didn't like it. So here we are again. We're rebuilding and hopefully we'll get it into a good place again.
Yeah. And you were awarded an MBE recently, weren't you? And you met the Prince of Wales. What was that like?
Again, another pinch me moment. I got the pleasure. I took my dad, my brother and my partner Viv to Windsor Castle. I met Prince William himself. Obviously, he talks to you. He knows me as an actual human being, which is crazy to me. And just talking to me as if we've known each other for years. But yeah, to get an MBE at the, you know, the Windsor Palace was just incredible. It was an amazing day and a huge honour. I just wish all of the girls had been able to get one, not just myself and a couple of the other lionesses, but fortunately it wasn't meant to be this time.
Yeah, another time, another time.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the past 12 months, like we said, have been filled with a lot of highs and lows for you. How do you keep your mental health in check when it must feel like you're on a bit of a roller coaster?
Yeah, I think, you know, November, well, I say September last year to, you know, even now, I got a big injury. I couldn't do, you know, my job or the sport that I love. I lost my mum in the January to cancer. It's not been it's been really difficult. It's not been easy. You know, I'm lucky enough that at both England and Arsenal, they offer psychologists, so they help in that aspect. I'm very good and an open person. I'm very good at talking, so I don't keep things within me very much. And I know I have a good, again, support from my friends, my family, my partner, that I know I can speak to them. And I'm very open and honest in how I am, and if I need to let my emotions out, I do, and I think that's okay. I think, you know, again, life was put into perspective when I lost my mum, and when I found out my mum had obviously cancer when she was first diagnosed, because I obviously took this injury in November and I'm out for 9 months. I can't do what I do for 9 months, but my mum was ill for a year and a half and then obviously lost her life to something she couldn't, you know, fight back anymore. So
yeah,
I think I'm very much like, I have a perspective on life and that's down to my mum, but it's also not, it's not easy, and people, it's okay to not be okay. I think that's very important for people to know. But finding the correct support and your correct way of dealing with things is very, very important also. But yeah, I try to, I think some, Viv gets annoyed at me a lot. I try to put a positive spin on a lot of things in life. Oh, I try to put perspective on a lot of things, which she's sometimes the opposite. So it doesn't sit well, but that's my way of going and dealing with things, and everybody's different. But I think if you can, you know, find that way and of dealing with it in your way and you feel good and healthy about it, then that's okay.
Yeah. Like, you and Viv just seem like a really, really lovely couple, and I think you described yourselves as the Posh and Becks of the lesbian world. Is it important to you to fly the LGBTQ flag, especially when you have got so many young people looking up to you?
Do you know what? I think in the women's game, it's amazing, because I don't sit there and think I have to post a post about coming out or being with who I'm with. You know, I'm happy, I'm, you know, in love with who I'm in love with, and that's okay. You know, when some male footballers feel, one, they might have never ever come out because they're too scared to, but some feel like they have to do a big media story and announce it and things. And I think the amazing thing about the women's game is we've always normalized it, we've not made it a big thing, and you are who you are, you are who you fall in love with. If you're happy, then that's okay, and I think that's important. If you want to be with a boy, girl, non-binary, whatever you want to be, that's okay. And I think, you know, it's important for the next generation to understand that as long as you're happy, you're healthy, and you're doing what you want to do, then that's okay. And I think the women's game, women's football and women's sport is very good at just normalising that in comparison to the men's game.
Yeah, so good. Finally, Beth, you have come so far. If you could go back and tell young Beth one thing, what would it be?
Live in the moment. Enjoy every moment. You know, I look back and I think, do you know what? I really enjoyed school, but at the time I didn't like school, or I loved simple things in life. And I think being present and being in the moment is very important. So that would be my advice to younger Beth.
And see, again, I think that's something that we could all take from. So
yeah,
I think you need to repackage your book as being a self-help guide for everyone. Beth, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been absolutely wonderful to chat to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.